Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And I just want to read the first four verses. Excuse me. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now I'm going to stop right there, just for the sake of reading. This is a wonderful piece of scripture. And it leads to a lot of things. It is in the book of Acts where Peter goes and actually speaks to the Gentiles for the first time. Mm-hmm. Not for the last time, but for the first time. It is an amazing thing to me, what we see here. And whenever I read this, I do jump back to that little story that Earl told me. Actually, I think he told several people, and he probably told it here and other places, of a very strange phone call he got one day. A man had called Earl, and they had talked a little bit. He'd heard of Earl. I don't know, I think from Henry Mahan. But he had heard from about Earl. And he called Earl on the telephone. And Earl told me this. He said he asked him a question. And the question he asked is actually a most excellent question. He asked Earl, which comes first? Life or faith? And that is an excellent question.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm jealous I didn't get to ask it. Because it is getting to the very heart, the very point of the truth of God in what God does for his people.
Yeah.
Which comes first, life or faith? Now, as used in that context when Earl was talking, I do actually believe that this was actually, he was asking at this time, actually, which comes first, life or conversion? Because faith is the gift of God also. And he gives that when he gives life. Now, still life comes first. But faith is given. But the part of actual conversion, the part of believing Christ is what he was asking.
Right.
Because, I don't know if that was the late 70s when that happened or the early 80s. But back then, if you didn't live through it, you don't understand. You know, we had maybe, what, back in those days, 20 or 30 TV channels. You know, you had the three networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. You had Fox coming on right then. And religious programming was on those networks. Even though they were on local stations, they were on the local networks, and it was kind of hard to escape it sometimes because you did not have all the choices. Because right now, I have gone for months without watching a religious program on TV. Now, I turned it on this morning, actually, as an experiment, and at 9 o'clock this morning, I hit 9 channels with religious programming on it. Now, had I checked at 8, it would have been more, but all the morning talk shows and Meet the Press and all that stuff comes on at 9 o'clock. But even after that, I had 9 different channels on my cable that had religious programming on there. And at the in the 80s, when he this fella asked Earl this question, or the or late 70s, the foremost thing that you would hear on these channels and these programs, whether it was a PTL club, the 700 club, or anything else, was, are you born again? And how do you get born again? And that's the way they would ask it. You need to get born again. That's what they would say. Now, Jesus Christ did say, ye must be born again. But he didn't say, Nicodemus, you need to get born again. And there's a world of difference. Because Christ went on to explain. Which is what these people do. But they don't use the same explanation Christ used. Christ said the Spirit goes where it lists us. The Spirit goes wherever it wants. And you don't know where it came from or where it's going. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. Christ told them, ye must be born again, but guess what? You have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
It's a work of God.
Yeah.
Now, this piece of scripture right here starts off, this is our introduction to Cornelius. And his introduction, it says, he was an Italian. Basically, of the Italian band. Now, what nationality for sure I don't know, but since he was a centurion, that probably makes him a Roman. That's just an educated guess. But the next verse says, a devout man. And one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius was alive at this time.
Right.
He had been regenerated at this time.
Yeah.
People don't like that.
No,
one of the programs I turned on, the very first one this morning, and this is really kind of weird, because I was wondering about doing this sermon. So I turned on the television on the Channel 2, which is our local network. It's like local cable channel. There was a guy preaching from Acts chapter 10 this morning. And they had him on two-thirds, three-fourths of the screen. On the other part of the screen, they had the name of the assembly and stuff like that. But they also had a little saying up there below the name of the bunch, and it says, be like Noah. Save your family. What you said this morning, Walter. Noah didn't save his family. God saved his family. Noah built the ark because God told him to. The animals went into the ark because God told them to. Noah's family went into the ark because God told them to. And then God shut the door. And nobody else got in. A lot of people don't like that either. But this fella did actually say a couple of good things. But what he was concentrating on was the fact of Peter's preaching to Cornelius and his family. And their conversion. And that's all he concentrated on. Right here is the beginning of the story of Cornelius, and it's very important. Because Cornelius was a devout man. And one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the poor, and he prayed to God always. That's Luke writing this. Because I'm going to tell you something that the world doesn't know. A dead man does not have faith. A dead man cannot believe. This is evidenced by the fact that a dead man cannot believe God because he is spiritually dead. The natural man, as Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He didn't stop there. He said, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the natural man has not the Spirit. The natural man does not receive, or even can receive, cannot receive, the things of the Spirit of God. Paul could have wrote, he didn't, but he could have wrote, that the natural man does not believe the things of the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. But that's not what he wrote.
No.
It's true. The natural man doesn't believe the things of the Spirit of God. But Paul wrote, he can't receive them.
Right.
The things of the Spirit of God are to be received. And the reason they are to be received is they have to be given by God to the spiritual man. The natural man cannot receive them. The spiritual man can receive them. He doesn't go out and get them any more than anyone goes out and gets born again. The man born of the Spirit of God, the spiritual man, he that is spiritual, believes because he has been given the things of the Spirit of God. Now, a dead man may believe all kinds of things. He may believe things of his own imagining. But the things of the Spirit of God are anathema to him. The truth of God is not known. The natural man, the dead man, cannot receive them because the natural man is dead. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom God has sent. Guess what? That's a thing of the Spirit of God. And that must be spiritually discerned, because dead is dead. And Cornelius here is not dead. Paul's litany against both the Jew and the Gentiles in Romans 3. Now, when you get into it, the Jews and the Gentiles, that's everybody. That's it. You got Jews and not Jews. That's all there is. As far as categories go, that's the human race. He wrote the statement that all were under sin, both Jew and Gentile. All are under sin. And then he started his litany, quoting some from the Old Testament, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. That's pretty bad. Right there. But this is the kicker at the end. The very last thing he says. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Yeah.
That's what it means to be under sin.
Yeah, that's what it means.
That's what it means to be dead.
Right.
That's what it means to be an alien from God. Mm-hmm. Because if you have no fear of God, you don't know God.
Right.
That's it. Bottom line, end of statement. If you don't fear God, you don't know God. The statement here where Cornelius was a devout man and one that feared God.
Yeah.
Cornelius feared God. That's a sign of life.
Yeah. Right.
That's a sign of regeneration.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a gift from God.
Amen.
Cornelius feared God. That's ignored by this world. They all want to concentrate on the fact that Peter came and preached. And Peter did come and preach.
Sure he did.
Because God was preparing Peter and God was preparing Cornelius.
Yeah.
To know God is to fear God. Cornelius was alive by God's gracious gift of life, by the word of his power. And this angel spoke to Cornelius and called him by name. And it plainly states that he feared God, which is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
The beginning of wisdom. It's not the end of wisdom, it's the beginning. And Cornelius was alive in verse 4 before Peter ever showed up in verse 24. And before he ever spoke to him in verse 34. Cornelius already feared God. Before Peter had a vision. Cornelius was alive because God had spoken to Cornelius. And he had said that one word, live.
Yeah, amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Live. And Cornelius lived. And Cornelius feared God. Life comes first.
Amen.
This is an interaction between God and man. God gives, and then man has.
Yeah.
It's not God offers and man accepts.
No.
God walks by and sees Cornelius at this time, before this. Because this has already happened. Cornelius is already fearing God when we meet him. But God walked by one time and saw Cornelius polluted in his own blood, and he said unto him, live. And Cornelius lived, just as he does to every child that he has, that he has chosen from before the foundation of the world. Life comes first. It's not an offering toward man at all. This is the Lord of glory giving life to those he has chosen when they were dead and they could do nothing. Because dead is dead. That's what we mean. When you hear somebody say something about total depravity from here. Total depravity is death. Totally and completely alienated from God.
Yeah.
Every other blessing from God comes to man after this. Except one. There's one. Election comes first. But election is not salvation, it's unto salvation.
Yeah.
Peter put it this way, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And if you know that, you've got grace and peace. But in that statement, you have an order to the works of God and his people. Election is first, which is according to God the Father, and it's all of grace. Number two, you see the sanctifying, setting apart work of the Spirit, where his people are given life and faith. And then three, you see obedience. Only after the election, only after the work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Then obedience comes in. By those who are set apart by the Spirit, which is the receiving of the things of the Spirit of God. Paul said basically the same order. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and salvation. belief of the truth.
Yeah.
Again, election, sanctification, belief.
Right.
You got it twice from two different apostles. I figure that's enough. Election is unto salvation. Regeneration, the sanctification of the Spirit, the giving of life, leads to belief, results in belief. People have the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
I've been there. And it's been a long time, and I'm not planning on going back, but I've been there. Well, they'll come up and they'll tell you, believe, and God will give you life. God will give you eternal life. It'll never end. If you can believe, truly believe, you've already got eternal life.
Yeah.
They've got the cart before the horse. They've got the effect before the cause.
Right. Right.
That's not how it works.
No.
That's not how God works.
Amen.
That's how religion works, fine. That's how religion works, but that's not how God works.
Amen.
Cornelius was alive long before Peter ever showed up. Even in Peter's dream, that's the way it came, the vision he had. He said, call not that which I have cleansed.
Right.
Past tense.
Right.
Common or unclean. And Peter, bless his heart, he's like us. God had to tell him three times. This was repeated thrice. Just in case you didn't get it the first time. I need that. I need the repetition. I need it. But these scriptures use the same order for the description of the work of God, that we should believe God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. We will believe. You will believe. If God chose you and God sent the Spirit to you, you're going to believe.
You're going to believe.
And guess what? It's still his work.
Yeah, it's his work. Yeah.
Because you shall receive the things of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to go out and get them. He'll give them to you.
Yeah.
Cornelius was one of the elect. How do I know that? God gave him life. Cornelius' prayer was heard by God.
I mean,
if you can bypass and miss the devout man and the one that feared God, if you can miss that part, okay. I mean, I can understand sometimes you read over stuff, but when, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about preachers. But when you can look at this and say, thy prayers, an angel told this to Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And you're saying a dead alien sinner's prayers can come before God?
No,
no way. No. No, 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 no. God doesn't hear the sinful. God doesn't hear it. But they can just bypass that. See, that's what you ought to do. Or maybe when he did that, God gave him life. No. You got to have life before you can do this sort of stuff. Life comes first. God gave Cornelius life, then Cornelius' prayer was heard by God. And that is a miracle. Because the Father doesn't hear a wicked man's prayer. They'll pray, but he won't hear. I remember places where I used to be, there was a saying they used to have. One time they said, well, sometimes some prayers don't go up no farther than the ceiling. They're right. Unfortunately, I think it was a lot of theirs. They were talking about somebody else. I hope I'm wrong. But God heard Cornelius' prayer and responded.
Sure.
Because Cornelius feared God. And Cornelius feared God because God gave him life. And God sent Peter to Cornelius only after he had prepared Cornelius and Peter.
Right.
Both of them had to be prepared.
Yeah.
The sower of the seed has to be prepared, and so does the ground.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there is no harvest. And he's the Lord of the harvest. He's the husbandman. Christ is the vine and we're the branches. Everything comes from him.
Yeah.
We have nothing in and of ourselves. Cornelius was a branch. God gave Cornelius life. God gave Cornelius faith. And Cornelius showed that he believed God by sending for Peter. Because God told him to. He wasn't showing God he believed. He showed us. And Peter was prepared. Told three times and then the door knocked. Somebody knocked on the door. Said, there's some people here looking for you, Peter. I want to go see this fellow who's a Gentile. And Peter said, I'll go. The dead man is extremely lacking in abilities. Actually, he's totally lacking in abilities. The man who is alive fears God and believes God. Even before somebody preaches to him. Now, there are some people we know that don't like that part either. Life's tough. Get over it. Sorry. Everything's not going to fit into your little file. God's order is God's order. And it is election. It is life from the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, and then it's belief. And you can see from this illustration here of at least one guy and his family, it doesn't all happen at one time. It doesn't. I'm sorry. I don't know where people get this. Doesn't matter where they get it from. God prepared Peter to go talk to a man he'd already made alive.
Yeah.
Before Peter ever saw him, he was alive. I think somebody named God had done something for that Ethiopian eunuch before somebody joined him in a chariot. And he says, I'm reading this. Who's he talking about himself or some other man? And preached Jesus to him. I believe that ground had already been plowed. That ground had already been prepared because he was reading the scriptures wondering, what do they mean? But this, where you have Cornelius as a devout man and one that feared God, and his prayers and his alms went up before a memorial to God, that man was regenerate. That man was made alive by God. No matter what anyone says. Because only he that is spiritual can receive the things of the Spirit of God. I think a visit from an angel qualifies for that. Life is instantaneous. God gives it, you got it. God says, live, you live. Faith is his gift, given. He gives it, you got it. Conversion can take some time. How much time? Guess what? That's up to God too. He could have had Peter right there, right then. Had already prepared Peter, but he didn't. I don't know why. It's God's pleasure. He does things in his own time. And this was a big deal in the sense that this was the first conversion that we see for Peter and the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, he took people with him. And when he took those people with him, they witnessed what Peter witnessed. And then when they got back, they had to explain what they had saw. Because the Jews didn't want to hold on to it first. They thought, you went to people that were uncircumcised, started hanging around with them. Peter said, God told me to. And guess what? God blessed them with the Holy Spirit. And who am I to reply against God? As a matter of fact, who are you? This is a story of conversion. to a man who's already been made alive by God, whom God sends a man to preach the gospel to, and who gets about halfway for his sermon, through his sermon, before the guy stops him. Rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ that he had heard and he came to believe. Because God gave him that. This is the work of God, that you believe on him and he whom he has sent, Jesus Christ. That's the work of God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this day, this place, and your word, your will in our lives, that you have seen fit to grant us life, to give us faith, and to convert us by belief of the truth about your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.